Hello, everyone. Welcome to our monthly webinar on new GTOD. Thanks for joining us today. You know, we moved the time of this webinar. This is probably the fourth month that we are doing this webinar now, and we moved the time because now that we're no longer on daylight saving time in the U.S., this time seems to work best for everyone. So thank you for joining us today. Before we get started, I'd like to go over a few housekeeping items. This webinar is going to run 90 minutes. We're going to start with a presentation, and then there will be a Q&A session that will follow. This session is being recorded. The recording will be available on the microsite on the same page that you found the information for the webinar. On that same web page is going to be, or we actually have already posted the deck to this webinar as well as the accompanying information paper. For those of you that are joining us on the phone, welcome. The phone bridge is opened also for anyone that would like to dial in to ask a question at the end of the session. The numbers for dial in is 1-877-941-1225, and the U.S. toll number is 1-480-629-9846. The access code is 4576168. So if you'd like to call in at the end of the session to ask a question, you can use those numbers. To get into the queue to ask a question, press star 1. And to exit the queue, press star 2. There is also a list of international phone numbers or non-U.S. phone numbers that's posted on the microsite. So I encourage you to go there if you need to find a number outside of the U.S. And if you are joining us on the Adobe Connect room, you can also enter in your question in the Q&A pod. We'll be monitoring that pod and pulling those questions and then answering them at the end of the session. If you are joining us for the first time, please take note that as you type in your question into the Q&A pod, you will not see it and it will not be visible to everyone in the Adobe Connect room, but I will see it, and so no worries there. During the Q&A session, we will rotate between questions from people that are on the phone and then answering those questions that we receive via the Q&A pod in the Adobe Connect room. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce today's speaker, Christine Ouellette. Christine is is our new general manager for the new GTOD program. She's been with us for all of about 6 weeks, and we're very happy to have her on board. Christine, I'll throw it over to you.
Thank you so much, Trey. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone who's joined us for this webinar. I'm so happy to be part of this program and part of this team now. As Trang said, for all of 6 weeks, I wasn't able to join all of you in Toronto, but I look forward to seeing many of you in Beijing. I was back here working with the team, getting up to speed on everything that's going on with the program. I'm sure many of you have met and heard Fadi Shahadi, our new CEO, speak and speak of his vision for a new season of ICANN, and he's written about and discussed a focus on operational excellence, and it's that spirit of operational excellence that I am striving to bring to the new GTLD program. Our focus here is on processing of the evaluation of applications in the most effective and efficient manner possible with a sense of urgency. I appreciate the timeliness and the heightened sense of the need for moving at a very fast pace here that the community has. So that is a focus for our team. We will be talking today about the statistics of application processing and the progress we've made so far. We'll be talking about the clarifying questions release that is forthcoming, as well as the prioritization draw. Those are the agenda topics for the day. Moving on to application statistics. To date, we have received a total of 13 withdrawal requests. 6 of those requests are completed. 7 are currently in process. We have received 0 objections filed against applications. We received a total of 169 change requests and have been submitted for applications. 29 of those have been approved and the respective applicants have been notified. 130 of those change requests are still in review, and 10 we will be working with or are presently working with applicants on following up. Moving on to the refund schedule. So we realize that there's been some questions around the refund submission dates and the schedule available. So with the GAC early warning anticipated to be coming out in the next week or so, if your application receives the GAC early warning, you will be eligible to receive a refund if your refund is a request is submitted within 21 calendar days of that GAC early warning. And the percentage of refund you would be eligible to receive would be 80%, or a total of $148,000 in USD. After June 13th of this year, and prior to the posting of the initial evaluation results for your specific application, applicants will be eligible for a refund of 70% of the initial application amount, or $130,000 USD. Once the initial evaluation results for an application have been posted, the percentage drops to 35%, or $65,000 USD. And after the results of dispute resolution, extended evaluation, and strain contention resolution, the percentage is then 20% and $37,000 USD. Once a registry agreement is executed with an applicant, fully executed by both the applicant and ICANN, no further refund would be eligible. Moving on to evaluation progress. So we have here you see a list of panels and the application status, evaluation status. I realize some of these dates may be different than what we've published in the past, and we'll be discussing schedule in the upcoming slides. So if you bear with me for the moment. The financial panel has been assigned 1,203 applications with 464 still in evaluation, 739 preliminary results. The technical and operations panel has also been assigned 1,203 evaluations, 957 preliminary results, and 246 in evaluation. The geographic and string similarity panels have received all applications, and ICANN is in receipt of preliminary results. We are in the process of reviewing those results. Specifically, string similarity will be going through a second review. So although we have preliminary results, a complete second review of those results will be performed. So the geographic names will be completed in November. String similarity, I anticipate that additional review will likely have what I would consider full results by the end of December. That is our intention and what we're working towards now. Registry services, all applications have been assigned to that panel with preliminary results on 317, 1,607 in evaluation. DNS stability is complete, and we have preliminary results from that panel in its entirety. And all applications are in the process of background screening. We have a multi-step approach to background screening. So that is not anticipated for full completion until February. I'd like to go back to the target completion for the financial and technical panels. You'll see the August 13 date. I will be addressing that in upcoming slides. I apologize, I'm going back on the slides. I apologize, I'm having a slight difficulty with the slide, if you'll bear with me momentarily.
Apologies for the brief delay there. We are having some issues with the slide deck, not showing some of the graphics that we had put on there. But the slide that Christine was on, essentially, we had a graphic on there that depicts the preliminary application results that were on the table that Christine had gone over, and just showing that month over month beginning in, was it September that I did, October? And just essentially a graphical depiction of the application preliminary results over the past 3 months. Yeah, and that graph actually should be visible in the slide deck that is posted on the microsite. So if you would like to take a look at that, it is in that slide deck. We apologize that we're having some issues with the graphics not displaying on the deck that's being projected through the Adobe Connect room. We're going to go ahead and move forward and continue on with the rest of the presentation at this time. Thank you.
So we're going to move on to clarifying questions. So we will be reopening the TAS system on November 26th. We will be releasing clarifying questions for geographic name applications. Those will also be issued on November 26th. See, clarifying questions from other panels will be released via the TAS system starting in January. We have decided to extend the response period for applicants to those clarifying questions from 2 weeks to 4 weeks, in response to a multitude of requests and concerns about 2 weeks not being a sufficient period to respond. Also, by releasing clarifying questions in January and not over the December period, we are going to be avoiding the holiday disruption and further compromising the extended four-week period. We are still working towards the release of initial evaluation results for the first group of applications based on priority order, as we discussed in Toronto. So that is currently on target for March 23rd, 2013. Based on a metered pace of initial evaluation results, we are anticipating that the final application results may not be published until August. That is an extension from what we discussed in Toronto, which was previously discussed to be June. But based on a pace ramping up from the initial 30 evaluations on March 23rd, working towards up to 100 initial evaluation results per week, we are looking towards an August completion date. The timing of delegations is unchanged compared to what we discussed in Toronto and what was previously presented. Specifically, we're going to discuss clarifying questions on the geographic name application. As I mentioned, we'll be releasing those clarifying questions on the 26th of November. We'll be releasing those via our CSE customer service portal, very much in line and similar to the way we issued clarifying questions during our pilot phase for those of you who participated in our CQ pilots. Applicants will have until the end of initial evaluation to respond to the GEO names clarifying questions as per the guidebook. A second notification will be sent to applicants, and an additional 90 days will be available if what is provided by the end of initial evaluation is not sufficient, or if the amended documentation still does not meet the criteria in the applicant guidebook. All support documentation, so all responses and letters, will be provided back to ICANN via that same CSE portal. We will be asking applicants to submit their responses to clarifying questions for the GEO panel specifically all at once where possible. That will assist us in managing and ensuring that we have received all responses. Looking ahead to the clarifying questions, which will be issued both in November and further in January, we have taken into account the feedback that we received from the CQ pilot. We are working to include more specific language in the clarifying questions, specifically why the information previously supplied is deficient, and spelling out with more clarity what it is we're asking the applicant to provide. Through the TAS system, the character limit for application clarifying question responses will be increased to 7,000 characters. Applicants will be able to submit attachments where the 7,000 character limit is not sufficient. We've received some questions as to whether applicants will be able to interact with the evaluation panel, and that will not be permitted. So applicants will not have interaction directly with the evaluation panel. Again, feedback from the CQ pilot was a request to extend the response period. As I mentioned, that will be extended from 2 weeks to 4 weeks. We will be posting advisories on responding to clarifying questions, and advisories specifically regarding four key questions, questions 25, 30, 48, and 50. We anticipate that these questions in particular may require applicants to spend a bit more time in preparing their responses to the clarifying questions. So we will be issuing these advisories before November 26th. So you will be able to review those advisories and get a better understanding of what to expect from clarifying questions. This slide is an attempt to depict the timing of results of the IE process. So in that first timeline, you see four milestones. By issuing the clarifying questions in early January, the applicants will have 4 weeks to respond. We'll receive those by mid-February. The evaluation of those clarifying question responses will be back by March 13th. We're anticipating another 4 weeks. And then 3 weeks, that will give ICANN 2 to 3 weeks to process those results from all panels, synthesize them, and have them published by March 23rd. So based on priority, we anticipate issuing clarifying questions for those prioritized applications in sequence. Once we have already issued the backlog of clarifying questions for all of the applications we've been processing for the last several months, so to restate, our panels have been processing and evaluating applications for the last several months. We will have a backlog of clarifying questions, which we will begin to release by January, starting in February. We anticipate the prioritized clarifying questions to begin to be released, and then this process will follow. Given this time frame, you'll see that the last set of IE results here, we're showing August. That is our current target. Even though we are issuing clarifying questions for panels other than the geographic assessment beginning in January, this will not impact the first publication of IE results on March 23rd. And even though we are now discussing and planning to release IE results as late as August, again, this will not impact the delegation date. You can see in this graph, in the blue lines, the initial evaluation results pace, and then you can see in the red lines, the delegation pace. So we do not anticipate that the extending the IE results period will have any impact to delegation. Moving on to the prioritization draw. We've received a number of comments on the paper we posted on the prioritization draw. A summary of those comments will be posted shortly. A notification to applicants, including the details of our draw, will be sent on November 16th. The date of the prioritization drawing is now scheduled for December 17th. Ticket sales will be occurring December 12th through the 16th, as well as the morning of the 17th in Los Angeles at the Hilton LAX Hotel. So December 12th through the 16th is a Wednesday through Sunday. We will strongly encourage all applicants to purchase their tickets prior to the morning of the draw. The draw is presently scheduled for the afternoon of December 17th, Monday.
Thanks, Christine. I think that concludes the presentation part of our webinar. We have several questions from people in the Q&A room that I'll be reading out, and then we would also like to open the phone lines for those of you that would like to call in for questions. So I'm going to start reading some questions out in just a minute here. Okay, the first question is from John Nevitt, Donuts. Refund was confusing. Could you please, how could it be after 6/13 and before results? What if results were published in May?
So that's a great question there. The June 13th date was referring to June 13th of 2012. So we've already passed that date. That is what the guidebook states. So from the close of the evaluation of the application period, the posting date of the applications in June of this past year until the IE results for applications begin to be released. So whether that's March 23rd or April, May, June, et cetera, of 2013.
Thanks for saying, yeah, essentially it's the period in time between when the applications were posted on June 13, 2012 and the date that we post the initial evaluation results for that specific application. We have a question from Bruce Tonkin with regards to screen similarity. Could you please clarify, because it was hard to hear, when the screen similarity results will be posted? Will it be posted at the end of November or end of December?
So we currently have preliminary results from one of our panel firms on screen similarity. We are in the process of having our second firm review of those screen similarity results. ICANN will be synthesizing those results, and the plan is to release the screen similarity results in December.
Thanks, Christine. Okay, so we don't have anyone on the phone, so I'll continue to read some questions from the chat room. This next one is from Kieran McCarthy. If I applied for DOT example and get ticket number 100, do I have to wait until all others going for DOT example get their slot before having a discussion with ICANN, i.e., if someone else applying comes last in the draw, does everyone applying for DOT example have to wait?
So I believe that the question is pertaining to string contention sets. So in so much as the management of string contention needs to be managed as a group, applicants are free to work with one another and manage string contentions independently once the string contentions are published in December. If you choose to wait until IE results are done, ICANN will be waiting to proceed with string contention auctions, community priority evaluation, et cetera, until all IE results are done for that contention, for contention sets.
We have another question with regards to string similarity. This one is from Alex Stamos. Why do the string similarity results need to be revealed? Revealed by whom?
So we have two firms as part of our string similarity panel. We actually have multiple firms on most of our panels. So we have preliminary results from one of the firms, and we are not going to consider them final until they are validated by our second firm as well as reviewed by ICANN.
Thanks, Christine. So this next question is regarding change requests. It's from EBW. Please characterize the change requests. Dot A-R-E, the requested changes to the strings applied for, or for other data submitted by the applicants, which applicants have requested label changes? So I can take that question. We can't disclose the nature of the changes that are being requested, but those changes that are approved are posted on the microsite. So if you go to the application status page, which is essentially the page that lists all of the applications, one of the columns on that page is application updates. If there is a yes in that column for a particular application, that means that that application has changes to their application since the posting date of June 13th. If you click through to that application, you'll be taken to a details page, and that details page will have a link on it that will tell you what the old version of the application was and what the new changes that were made to the application. So we do post the changes to the applications that are approved if they are to public portions of the applications. And all of that information is on the microsite. We have a question from Brett Fawcett. Brett is asking about geographic MCQs. Why has ICANN separated geographic names for the clarifying question program, and why are those applications going first?
So we have chosen to release the clarifying questions for the geographic names applications. It's just the geographic names panel. It's not all clarifying questions for the geo names. So it's not as though we've pushed the geographic names applications to the front of a queue. It just so happens that the questions regarding that are coming from the geo panel are of a nature, they're addressing the letters that are needed, and those letters will likely require a fair amount of time, and the guidebook allows for the letters and responses to be provided until the end of initial evaluation results. These clarifying questions from the GEO panel specifically are not time sensitive. They're not restricted to our now 4-week response window. So they're being released first because they are ready and they suit themselves through to the release through our customer service portal.
Thanks, Christine. The next question is from Craig. Please clarify when ICANN will publish the list of contention sets. I think Christine clarified that earlier. If you still require further clarification, Craig, please enter it into the Q&A pod and we'll get to that. Next question is from Pitmore Linden from Validius. Will ICANN accommodate coexistence principles to avoid unfairly placing trademark-based TLD applications in contention sets? So, Karen, if you wouldn't mind answering that question.
I understand the question to be about the string similarity review and the contention sets. Okay, I'm going to start over because it seems that people cannot hear. Yes, can you hear me? Okay, so this is Karen Lund speaking. The question is about, I believe, the string similarity review and the contention sets. And just to recall the origin of the string similarity review and those reviews that take place of the applications and the strings that's there in the interest of preventing or avoiding user confusion by having many similar TLDs, and that's the standard that the panels are given in the guidebook is whether something would create a probability of user confusion if more than one of the contending strings were to be delegated into the root. So currently there's no, we don't have a means for considering when exceptions or things would be considered and factored into that process. I think we've said in the past that some have suggested that there could be guidelines or procedures built around this, and that it seems to need some sort of policy discussion around how you create those rules and whether some sort of exception process or parameters could be built. Thanks.
Thank you, Karen. Do we have anyone on the phone? Okay. All right, I will continue to read out questions from the Q&A pod. Christine, this one is for you. It's from Preston Izekwu from Validius. The diagram seems to indicate that some CQs will be released in May. Can you comment?
Yes. That is an accurate reflection. that it, there is potential that clarifying questions could be released as late as May, given the timeline we're working on towards. We will be shifting to processing evaluations and evaluating applications according to priority after the December 17th drawing. So we will be working through the backlog of clarifying questions to be released against applications which have gone through preliminary evaluation in January. I would anticipate by early February, we will begin issuing clarifying questions from all panels based on the prioritization draw members in that sequence. But it is primarily the FIN and tech panels that are driving the timing and the release of clarifying questions. So it will be the lower number, the later prioritized applications that will be receiving their clarifying questions, most likely from the FIN and tech panels in the April and possibly May timeframe.
Thanks, Christine. All right, I will continue. This next one is from Ruben.
Cool.
Apologies. Will the current scoring before CQs be disclosed to applicants alongside the CQs? It would be very helpful.
That's a great question, Ruben. No, the scoring of applications will not be disclosed with the clarifying question. However, a clarifying question will only be issued if the full potential score has not been achieved, or if it is a zero score.
Thanks, Christine. And just to build on that a little bit, for the clarifying questions, the panels will be as specific as they can with regards to the criteria that is not being met by the application and what is needed to be provided. So in some instances, the clarifying questions will indicate, for example, that a particular criteria under a score for 2 points for a particular question is not being met and why. So you can make certain inferences from there if you choose to, but overall, the panels will not be providing the current scoring of the application prior to issuing CQs. This next one is sort of a comment from Janet Sue. How about asking for updates on COI instruments prior to asking for CQ info on other financial questions? It may not be needed if COI is accepted with 3 points.
So I think that's a very good question. We will be issuing advisories that will provide everyone with insight as to the evaluation of those specific questions and what will be expected. So we will not be asking for updates. Rather, you'll be able to and have the opportunity to respond to a clarifying question if there are updates.
Thank you, Christine. We have a question from Dietmar London about when will contention sets be popped or released, and I think we, again, answered that question earlier. So I'm going to move to the next one from Tim Switzer, Dot Green. Bear with me 1 second so I got copying these because I can't see the question. When is ICANN going to acknowledge the ability to increase delegation of 20 per week to 100 per week?
So thank you very much for that question. I can take that offline and we can address that. But the 20 per week is the rate that meets the 1,000 per year delegation to IANA rate that we has been previously committed to.
Thanks, Christine. I think there are some issues with audio quality, and we'll try to address that, and I'll try to speak into the microphone and speak a little louder. We have another question from Steve Metallis with regards to when contention sets are going to be published again. I think we addressed that earlier. Another question from Tim Switzer. When TAS reopens on November 26th, will the prior user ID and password still be valid, or will it need to be reset? I can go ahead and answer that question. So when TAS reopens on November 26th, in some instances, you will need to reset your password for Citrix, the reason being that the Citrix password is valid for only 90 days. So depending on when it was created or when you last changed that password, you may need to update or request a password change to log into the system. This next question is from EWB. I'm able to locate a reference to applications meeting the support criteria, JAS reference, while the number of applications seeking support is less than anticipated, it is still greater than zero. Are these applications, if qualified, indistinguishable from all other applications?
So if I understand the question correctly, the question is asking if we will be disclosing which applications are requesting financial support. We have not disclosed that to date. I will take it as an action item to determine if that is something we will be doing going forward, and if so, when. Thank you.
Interesting. This next question is from Tim Twister again, and it's a question about the draw. Comments on draw deadline was November 9th. Details released on November 16th. Does that mean all in out was evaluated in 1 week?
So I think that's input. So we began reviewing input as it was received throughout the comment period. We will be releasing an analysis of the input in the next week, and we will be publishing a paper on that. So given that we do intend to move forward with the prioritization drawing, any specific details about the prioritization drawing that may change as a result of that input will be disclosed in that that analysis and that upcoming paper.
Interesting. This next question is from Craig. How will the draw process be completed on the afternoon of December 17th? Seems like a lot of drawing to do.
Yes, potentially drawing over 1,900 tickets. It could certainly take a good amount of time. We are working on a very detailed process, and we will be timing this out. The drawing itself could take anywhere from 4 to 8 hours if we actually have over 1,900 tickets purchased. But that is something we will be managing to, and it will be dependent on the exact number of tickets, which end up being purchased.
Thanks, Christine. Do we have anyone on the phone? Okay. So I'm going to jump to a question from Kieran McCarthy, and it's with regards to the draw. Is it open to observers, or do you must have a ticket to attend?
The raffle event will be open to observers. It will be open to the public. Details will be forthcoming in the next few days to a week. Like ICANN meetings, we will be asking for attendees to register for the event. But you will not have to purchase a ticket to attend.
Thank you, Christine. Another question from Kieran with regards to change requests. How and when will ICANN provide information on what these changes are and who made them? Again, as I referenced earlier, the changes that we have approved are currently posted on the microsite. And as we review and approve additional change requests, they will be posted on the microsite as well. Continuing with the topic of the draw, we have a question. Has a lottery or license for the prioritization draw been secured?
Yes, we have secured the appropriate documentation for the raffle in the state of California. So we are appropriately licensed for that.
Thank you. Again, another question from Tony Harris on the draw. Can we pay cash for tickets at the Hilton?
Great question. Details about all of the possible payment types will be forthcoming. I can say at present we anticipate that cash will be accepted, but a variety of payment types, the exact payment types, will be communicated along with all of the rules of the drawing itself in the next week.
Thanks, Christine. This next one is from Alan Tan. When will be the earliest possible time for TOD to begin its sunrise period? Is it after signing the contract or after entering the route? Karen, can I ask you to answer that?
I think I can. This is Christine. So the sunrise period won't begin until after the TOD is in the route.
Thank you. Another question from EWB. Staff proposed at Toronto to process VeriSign's suite of IDN applications before almost all of the applications. Is this still the plan of record?
So the original proposal for the prioritization draw did suggest that the IDN applications be prioritized ahead of other applications. We received many comments and feedback on what would be suitable, which applications might be suitable for prioritizing ahead of others. That is still the subject of analysis, and ICANN's response to that feedback will be published in our analysis and paper in the coming week.
Thank you. Next question is from John Nevitt. When will background screening results be published?
So background screening results, I don't know that we're going to be publishing background results separate from any IU results. That is not the plan. We will be publishing the results of initial evaluation, and that would include an appropriate background screening. If there are issues with the background screening, those would be communicated to the applicant directly.
Thank you. This next question is from Peter Lamentia. You show 1,900 in delegation sequence. There are only approximately 1,400 unique strings. Suggest you clarify, is there any move to increase the pace?
So, yes, you're correct. The number of unique strings is less than the 1,900. At this time, the present pace of delegating 20 strings a week to IANA is still our plan. We have not discussed increasing the pace at this time.
Thank you, Christine. The next question is from Ruben. Will non-U.S. residents, citizens, be allowed to purchase tickets for the draw?
So the as long as the individual is present in Los Angeles in person to purchase the ticket, it will not be required that you will be, you will not be required to be a U.S. citizen or resident. If you are not the the applicant of record, you will be expected to provide a proxy, and details about the proxy requirements will also be forthcoming in the next week.
Thank you, Christine. The next question is from Jim Pendergrass, and it's also with regards to the draw. Are IDN applicants required to purchase a ticket and participate in the draw? If so, will IDN applications be considered in a separate draw from all other applications? If an IDN applicant is not required to purchase a ticket and participate in the draw and accordingly chooses to opt out of the draw, is the IDN application placed, one, at the end of the queue of all IDN applications, two, at the end of the queue for all applications, or three, according to some other determination?
So, great detailed question. The exact handling of the IDN prioritization ahead of other applications has not been finalized. Again, that was part of the initial proposal, and the final plan and our response to comments will be forthcoming. What I can say is that we anticipate that all applicants who wish to participate in the prioritization, meaning applicants who deem that prioritization is important to them, rather than waiting for delegation at whatever pace, they would be encouraged to opt in to the raffle and hence would be required to buy a ticket. By not purchasing a ticket, any applicant of any category would be presumed to have opted out of the prioritization.
Thanks, Christine. And Jim, I know you have two other questions, and I think Christine just answered your next question with regards to if you choose not to participate in the draw, how is the order of the applications determined? Your third question I will now read is, if an applicant has a low draw number but is not ready to proceed as quickly as others, what opportunities are there for the applicants to slow its application's progress? My understanding from Kurt's presentation in Toronto is that applicants can schedule later for pre-delegation testing, contract negotiation, and contract signing. Please confirm. If so, may IDN applicants who want to delay the process schedule the pre-delegation testing, contract negotiation, et cetera, later than non-IDN applications? Are there ways other than via scheduling that applicants can delay their progress?
So I think we've got at least three questions there. So to the point of what was communicated in Toronto, that delay of an application's progress, or if an applicant wishes to slow its progress through the cycle, through pre-delegation testing, yes, that can be achieved by scheduling pre-delegation at a later time, regardless of the priority. That can also be achieved through the entering into negotiation. That will also affect the timing. I'm going at second question, if IDN applicants. So if IDN applicants who want to delay the process schedule, so regardless of whether you're an IDN, whether you have priority number one, if you choose to postpone your pre-delegation testing for 12 months, that is still feasible. Are there ways other than scheduling that an applicant can delay their progress? We haven't identified any at this time. That is the primary mechanism we're looking at presently.
Thank you, Christine. This next question is from Ari. Please provide an update regarding the 116 IDN applications. Are all IE results for these expected on March 23rd?
For the first 30 applications. Oh, can you hear me? You may be having some technical difficulties. So the intention is to release IE results for the first 30 applications on March 23rd, regardless as to whether it's IDNs or whether they are prioritized ahead of other applications or it is some other group, or there is no priority, we anticipate being able to release the IE results of those first 30 applications on March 23rd.
Thank you. Next question is from Janix Q. CQs for Q50 COI instrument. Will all applicants have to update also the duration of LOC's cash escrow agreements to reflect the delay of the launch, delegation of the new GTODs? And will an update to ICANN's new postal address also be requested?
So I'm going to ask Trang to respond to that. She's immersed in the details there.
Thanks, Christine. So I don't think the guidance with regards to the COI for Q50 has changed in that the start date of the COI needs to be reasonable within the time frame of the start of the application window. We will not ask the applicants to go back and get new LOCs or escrow agreements to reflect a change of the effective date due to delays of the program. However, if the panel is determined that the effective date of the LOC and or escrow agreement is insufficient, then the applicant will receive a clarifying question. With regards to your question about the ICANN's new postal address, no, clarifying questions would not be generated specifically for applicants to update ICANN's change of address. Okay, next question, back to drawing. Question from Matthias. Must each applicant appear in person in LA to buy a drawing ticket? And I think you may have answered this earlier, but.
So the applicant, someone needs to be arrive in person in Los Angeles to purchase the ticket. The applicant can be in Los Angeles in person to purchase that ticket, or a proxy can be appointed by the applicant to purchase the ticket on their behalf. To clarify, neither the applicant nor the proxy will be required to be present on Monday, December 17th, on the day of the raffle, in order to receive their prioritization number.
Thanks, Christine. So this is sort of a comment and question from Jeffrey Smith. If there are only 56 unique generic type strings and 966 applicants who applied for these strings, wouldn't it be much more productive to publish these strings prior to prioritization? And if so, what is the new expected date of this announcement?
So we do anticipate publishing the string contention sets in December. I'm not prepared at this time to commit to doing that prior to December 17th. However, I would say that is our goal. That is what we're working towards. But I don't want to make commitments that we are not prepared to deliver on. So hence the changes in some of our dates. I want to, as I communicate with all of you, I want to be as clear and specific about the dates. And as things change, and if there are reasons, I will also be communicating that as well. So it would be our, I would say it is our goal to publish those results prior to the prioritization draw, but I cannot at this time make that a firm commitment.
Thank you, Christine. Next, we have a couple of questions from Crescent News Network friend Validius. First question, I think this has been answered earlier, but not sure if I caught the question. Will the 70% refund apply up to the time that the first evaluation results are published, late March 2013, or will it apply up to the time that results for each specific application are published, which could be any time between March and August 2013?
So, yes, the response was that the 70% refund would apply up to the time that that evaluation results are published. So if you're an application that is prioritized more highly, those results could be in late March. If you have a lower priority number, then later priority number, then those results could be as late as August.
Thanks, Christine. Question with regards to the draw from Trent Harvey. Will ICANN lottery numbers be published to the public?
So to clarify, we are not identifying lottery numbers. We are holding a raffle for prioritization numbers. And, yes, it is our intention that very rapidly following the drawing, prioritization numbers will be published via the microsite as we do other information about our applications right now in our public posting pages.
Thank you, Christine. And my apologies, I skipped the second question from Crescent, so I'll go back to it now. The second question is, in the advisories, will ICANN provide examples for a range of passing answers for each CQ, which would be useful, or will it simply be, this is a passing answer, this isn't, not useful, especially for Q50 LOC, on which ICANN has said that some 90% of applicants may receive a CQ? Thank you. I'll answer this question. So the advisories will not be providing answers or specific examples of answers to questions 50 and the other questions. What it will do is be as specific as we can possibly be with regards to areas that are that have been identified by the evaluation panel as being insufficient, and in some instances be able to provide you with some examples of what is sufficient and re-highlighting or clarifying what the criteria in the guidebook and supplemental notes are asking for. So, again, it's, these advisors are meant to be providing you with the answers to the questions per se, but information that is specific enough for you to take some action on and specific enough so that hopefully you will be able to answer the clarifying questions that the panels send. We have a question from Reg Levy with regards to the payment for the draw and whether or not it needs to be in cash. I think Christine had answered this question previously, so we'll move on. The next one is from Steve Metallitz. What changes to the process were made as a result of comments received on the prioritization draw paper?
So we are not discussing any changes to the prioritization draw process here. We're just indicating that we are intending to move forward with the prioritization draw. There will be an analysis paper published in the next week, which will document our analysis and of the comments provided during the comment period.
Thanks, Christine. I think we have someone on the phone, so Michelle, if you can put them through.
Your next question comes from the line of Stephanie Ducheneau. Please go ahead.
Hi. Does the primary contact need to be in person, or can another representative from the applicant be in person, or is a proxy statement needed?
Thank you for that question. The primary contact from the applicant will not need to be present, but the primary contact from the applicant will need to designate either a proxy or another individual officer of their organization to be present, so that participant ticket purchaser can be designated by the primary contact at the applicant. More details will be coming in the rules and proxy information.
Thank you, Christine. Anyone else in this room, Michelle? Okay. We'll read some more questions from the chat room then. And the next one is from Sarah Salvi. Can someone explain why applicants will not be able to engage with the review teams at all when it comes to the CQ? For those that participated in the pilot round, know that many of the questions were difficult to discern what was being asked, i.e., what information was missing, et cetera.
So we did have pilots to address just this issue. We anticipated that there would be challenges with the clarifying question. That is why we conducted the pilot. The team has worked extensively with each of the panels to ensure that the format of the clarifying questions were understandable and were clear and was significantly improved over what was seen during the CQ pilot. In order to ensure an even playing field for all applicants and in order to maintain the of evaluations, it's not possible for the applicants to interact with the panel directly.
Thank you, Christine. Next one from Craig, and I think we have answered this before. Christine just said that CQs could be released as late as May. How can that be? I believe you answered that.
So, yes, the short answer is that is possible primarily for the FIN and tech panel because they will be shifting their evaluation work based on priority, the prioritization of the application.
Thanks, Christine. Next question from Jeffrey Smith. Shouldn't this be complete to allow withdrawals so that they may take advantage of the higher refund rates and to not become a part of the December drawing?
So I think, Jeffrey, your earlier question was in regards to the publication of the string contention sets. So I believe we've addressed that. And that the answer was that we were attempting to do so. But again, I want to only communicate dates that I can commit to. If I can beat any of these dates and if we can improve upon these dates, that would be great. But I don't want to promise something to all of you that we cannot meet.
This next one is more of a comment from Jim Prendergast. So CQs can be issued for non-GO applications anytime between January and May, and the order they will be asked is dependent on the draw number.
That's correct. So we will be issuing clarifying questions for both GO and non-GO applications between January and May. The only clarifying questions that will be coming in November are from the GO panel explicitly. No other FIN, tech, et cetera, clarifying questions will be coming for the geographic applications in November. Only those questions, clarifying questions from the GO panel itself.
Thanks, Christine. The next one is from Jasmine Omer. When will ICANN provide a form letter by which an applicant can either appoint a representative or request that ICANN appoint a representative for the applicant?
We will be publishing more details about the proxy process in the next week. So you'll have the information to enable you to appoint your own proxy.
Thank you. This next question is from Jeffrey Eckhouse. If a registry service provider or back-end provider completes the CQs early, will they have to wait to respond to the same questions at a later date if another applicant is using them as a RSP, or will the CQs be pulled since they were responded to earlier?
So clarifying questions will be released by application. So yes, the questions will need to be responded to per application. No, we will not be pulling those CQs, assuming that the same RSP is there for multiple applicants. Each clarifying question will need to be responded to individually.
Thank you, Christine. Next question is from Jim Prendergast. Based on this new timeline, what is the earliest you expect a new GTOD to be delegated to the root?
So that timeline is unchanged from the Toronto meeting. The release of IE results on March 23rd is still in place. As we communicated in Toronto, Kurt communicated in Toronto, ICANN will not be signing any registry contracts until after the Beijing meeting and until after the GAC advice is received. So that's really what we're dependent on. After the IE results are completed, the applicants will move on to contracting, pre-delegation testing. Those items, along with the Beijing meeting and the GAC advice, are the gating factors to finalizing the registry agreements and then releasing the TLDs to IANA for delegation.
Thanks, Christine. Next question. Do we have anyone on the phone? No? All right. From Didmar. As a follow-up to the question Karen just answered, time and again, ICANN has committed itself to transparency. Can ICANN please explain the lack of transparency in the string contention decision-making process, i.e., on what basis is user confusion determined? Also, why is there no opportunity to make submissions to panels and no appeal process?
So we've got a couple of questions there. Lack of transparency in the string contention decision-making process versus opportunity to make submissions to panels and no appeal process. So I'll address the submissions to panels and appeal process. So we're just talking about IE results here. So as I've described, in order to continue for our panels to continue their evaluations at the we're discussing here, it's not feasible for applicants to have interactions with the panels directly. So if an application does not have a favorable or passing result for initial evaluation, that applicant would move on to extended evaluation as per the criteria set forth in the guidebook. So in terms of an appeal process, it's really a matter of proceeding to extended evaluation. So in terms of string contention and transparency, Karen, is that something you can address?
Uh, Okay, thank you. This is Karen Lentz. I'll try to respond to those questions. First of all, in regard to transparency, the standard that's used by the string similarity panel is included in the guidebook, and that's what the panelists are given to work with as the guidance for how they come up with their results. In regard to an appeal process, there's a couple of aspects here. One is the task of the panel, the evaluation panel, is really to look at visual similarity, and they're really intended to do that by looking at the strings themselves, not by descriptions or points around what the applicant is meaning or intending, or other things in their application. It's really intended to be just based on the strings. And then because there is not an extended evaluation for the string similarity, there is a second review to corroborate, if that's the right word, for the results of the string similarity panel, so that where things are found to be in string contention or not passing the review, there is a confirmation of that step there. Two parties are both agreeing on that result. Thanks.
Karen, thank you for that clarification. I was speaking generally about other panel results and moving to extended evaluation, not specifically about strings, so thank you for clarifying that.
This next question is from Bruce Tonkin. Of the geographic names, how many are likely to be subject to clarifying questions, e.g. in rough percentage terms?
You know what, that's not something that we're going to be disclosing. We won't be disclosing any statistics about who is receiving clarifying questions or not from any panel.
Thank you. Next question is from Katrine. How can applicants opt out to the drawing if they want to be approved at the end?
So whether an applicant chooses to opt into the prioritization draw will have no effect on the results of their initial evaluation or the completion of the entire evaluation process. So if prioritization is of value and meaningful to the applicant, then that applicant would want to opt in. If the timing and delegation to the route is not of importance to you, then that you would not have to participate in the prioritization drawing.
Thank you. Let's see. Next question from Reg Levy. What first 30 IE results will be posted on March 23rd? The first 30 that are complete or the first 30 in delegation order?
The first 30 applications will be based on the priority that is agreed to that we will be publishing in the next week. So the previously suggested ICANN's previous suggestion was that IDNs would be prioritized ahead of other applications. As we respond to public comments and we post our paper on that, we will be determining exactly what that prioritized list is. It will not necessarily be the first 30 completed. It will be the first 30 that are prioritized.
Thank you, Christine. And next question from Brett Fawcett. What credentials would someone need to purchase a ticket? How do we show that we are authorized to purchase?
So, again, more details on the proxy and credentials. All of those will be forthcoming in the rules. So if you have any more specific, if there are more specific questions on the proxy process and the credentials, I'd encourage you to wait just a couple more days, and I think you'll have much more information.
Thank you, Christine. Question from Michael Glam. Have the drawing fees been set?
What was proposed in October was that the raffle ticket would receive would be priced at $100. For the reasons, there are some legal reasons for that, but that at this moment, that is still the proposed fee.
Thank you. The next question is from Mark Trettenberg. Sorry if this was already asked, but I joined late due to the last-minute notice of the call. Is there any consideration of making the draw electronic, e.g. using a number randomizer? Why would I can spend 4 hours drawing 1,900 pieces of paper out of a box? Doesn't that seem kind of strange for the company that administers the Internet?
Hi, this is Amy Stathis. We are going to be managing the raffle in accordance with California law, and California law requires that it be a paper ticket that is utilized.
Thank you, Amy. Next question from John Nevitt. When will applicants be informed that they passed the screening? I assume he means background screening.
Sure, as I address this, the background screening results will not be released independently of the IE results. So if you have passed and there are no issues with the background screening, that will be understood as the IE results are released.
Thanks, Christine. We only have a few minutes left in the webinar, and we still have many questions in the that have been submitted. So I'll try to go through them quickly, and Christine, we can keep our answers short and to the point. Next one is from Jean Guillaume. I apologize if I did not say your name correctly. In which languages support documentation in response to CQs be provided via the CSC portal? And I can answer that one. All documentations relating to CQs will be in English, just as how the application process was. The next question is from Ken Stubbs. Please confirm that ICANN has been granted a permit for this drawing by the appropriate authorities. And the answer to that question is yes. Next question is from Crescent with Validius. Will advisories be restricted to the questions specified in the presentation, or will more be released at a later stage for other questions? For example, would there be clarification of what qualifies as acceptable reference materials, where ICANN has requested for evidence to support the outsourced costs outlined in Q47? Would a letter from the applicant's supplier certifying outsourced costs as set out in the application satisfy ICANN?
At this time, those previously listed advisories are all that we are intending. There could be further advisory subsequently. I can't speak to what would satisfy a specific question.
Thanks, Christina. Just to build on that really quickly, the advisories for those specific questions are being issued because we believe that those specific questions would require actions from applicants that could potentially take a little bit longer. And therefore, we're issuing those advisories to help applicants prepare in advance of receiving the clarifying questions. We're not planning on issuing advisories for every single question in the applicant guidebook. Next question from Crescent as well. What will be the procedure for making GAC early warnings publicly available? Will they be published on the ICANN GAC or other website? Would they be publicly available on the 20th of November or at a later date?
Mm-hmm. So the GAC early warnings are being sent directly to the applicants, and as soon as we receive notification, we will be publishing that information to our public listing pages so that will be after November 20th.
Thank
Thank you. Next question from Ken Stubbs. Please provide hours you will be open on Saturday the 15th and Sunday the 16th, as many will be flying in on these dates.
We're currently planning for operation ticket sales operations from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific time on those days.
Thank you, Christine. Now, next one is from David Payne. During what hours can we purchase the tickets? And I think Christine just covered that. Next question is from Tina Dam. Will you publish a list of the Q&As from the webinar? You know, we have, I'll answer that quickly. We have not done that in previous webinars, and the reason being that we do try to answer all of the questions that are submitted to us during the webinar, and a recording of the webinar is available on the microsite if you wish to listen back to it. Next question from Jim, or Jeffrey Smith. Will the prioritization numbers be firmly attached to only one application where they cannot be sold, et cetera?
That is what was proposed in the original prioritization draw letter. That's correct.
Thanks, Christine. Another question from Jeffrey Smith, from Frazunik. Will objections be accepted until March 23rd?
That is also was proposed in the October 9th letter.
Thank you. And then Brett Foster has a follow-up question. I don't believe we addressed this yet. What credentials would someone need to purchase a ticket? How do we show that we are authorized to purchase on behalf of an applicant? Okay, so I think, Christine, you did answer this. Next question from Colin. How will any party of a contention set know if another party in the contention set has passed the background screening?
So, again, background screening results won't be posted separately from initial evaluation results. That initial evaluation results. Initial evaluation results will be posted.
Thank you, Christine. We're a couple of minutes over, and I'm reading through the remaining questions, and I think only one question / comment that we have not addressed, which is relating to the reopening of CAS. And this is with regards to concerns about the flood of people that will be sort of logging in to CAS on November 26th when we reopen CAS. How do we anticipate for that? And can we assure that PASS won't go offline due to the number of hits that it gets on that day?
What I can say is that in the last 6 weeks, ensuring the stability of CAS has been a priority of mine, and we have had resources working on CAS. So that is a focus. And it is something that we will be monitoring and managing throughout the clarifying question process and as we reopen the system to applicants.
Thanks, Christine. Are there anyone on the phone, Michelle? Okay. Well, I think we've answered all of the questions that were submitted in the Q&A pod. So thank you to everyone. Christine, do you have any last-minute comments before we go ahead and close out the webinar?
Thank you all for being so kind on my first webinar. I look forward to working with all of you in the coming months.
Thanks, Christine, and thank you to everyone for joining us today and for your time. Thank you. See you next month.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference call for today. Thanks for participating. You may now disconnect your lines.